So when you say here, you mean here in Cinderella, in your studio? Six, 1960. And here we are getting ready to go to 2011. Yeah. Man,
we've been here a
long time.
The Steve Miller Band did an album here, too. Mm-hmm. Steve Miller 5. It's part of his anthology album. We got a gold record for that. Of course, McCoy got one, so did Buttrey. And McCoy said that's the only gold record he ever received from anybody.
Really?
As many as he's played on.
Wow.
They just never took the time to say, oh, yeah, well, this did sell a million copies. May I ought to send McCoy a copy?
Well, everybody in the world knows you as a guitar player. Do you play other instruments? Or
I played bass on the first Barefoot Jerry effort. And, well, I played some bass on sessions that we did with Charlie McCoy and the Escorts. He would just hire the whole band to go in and play Joe Simon or whoever it was. So we cut two number one R&B records in the same session. Yours Love and Choking Kind, Harlan Howard wrote. Anyway, it wasn't really happening the way we were set up. So he said, okay, everybody switch instruments. Moss, you play bass. I said, okay. I don't play bass. No, okay. And see, Mac, you play rhythm. He said, I'll play lead. So we did that. He said, Buttrey, stay where you are. Nobody else can play drums like that. So I went dong 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 da ka dong 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 ka dong ka dong da 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 dong bom 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 ba dong dong, and I did that throughout the song and followed the chord changes, which is like lead bass, you know.
Yeah.
But it went number one. I thought, well, I guess I can play bass.
Maybe I'll switch over, right? So you've had so many years of playing, and you obviously started out live like everybody does, and then you have your own studio and you started playing on records. Do you have a preference between playing live or in the studio?
I like them both. I mean, they're different. I like the way McCoy puts it. He said, you can play a tape machine back, and it'll tell you what you did. It doesn't tell you if anybody likes it. But if you're playing live, you know instantly if they approve of it or if they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So you don't get the gratification, instant gratification. Out of something you do in the studio, you got to use your sense of good judgment as to whether people will like it or not. But if you're playing live, you know right away. So they're good in both respects. In the studio, you can say, well, I messed that up. Let's do it again. If you're playing live, you know, it's best not to do that. You just go on to the next thing. But studio is, I feel really comfortable in. And my mother, when I was 15, well, before that, she kept saying, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I don't know. I'll let you know when I grow up. Well, no, you need to be headed in a direction of some kind. And she kept on until I finally said, okay, I want to go to Nashville and be like Chet Atkins and have me a studio and make records. She said, okay. So she moved to Nashville, married her childhood sweetheart, got her job at H. Brown Furniture Company, and proceeded to try to shove me down Nashville's throat. And one day, this fella came in there, a piano player, came in there to make a payment on his couch or something that had bought there. And he said, y'all don't know anybody that plays guitar, do you? Ours just quit. And my mother said, yes, matter of fact, I do. His name was Richard Williams. He was a piano player with Casuals. And one thing led to another, and got together and played for him and Buzz Kasem, Billy Smith. And they said, okay, you're hired. And I spent two and a half years working with them and Brenda Lee, backing her up on the road. And then when that got to be getting in the way of sessions that I was doing and stuff, I quit doing that, but I wanted to play around town. So Charlie McCoy and the Escorts would play Seward Air Base, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, but mostly Printer's Alley and Vanderbilt and sorority parties and fraternity things like that. And we had a really good band. I think there was an article came out in the Tennessee and Nashville scene, something a long time ago that said that credited the Casuals with being the first rock and roll band Nashville ever had.
So what year, what era would that have been? What time?
Well, that was 59, I guess. They were going a year or two before I got here. But it was the first rock and roll band. Then it said that the best rock and roll band was Charlie McCoy and the Escorts. And the reason they said that is we just got an incredible amount of music out of six pieces. For instance, Charlie would play bass with his left hand, trumpet with his right hand, and sing in between. He would just squeeze the neck on the notes that he wanted and play trumpet when there was a piano player also played trumpet. And we had two saxophones. So when you hit all four of them horns at one time, you'd say, wait a minute, that ain't but a six-piece band. You know, the piano player would play a keyboard with his left hand and a trumpet with his right.
Yeah.
So we got an incredible amount of music out of a small amount of pieces because everybody was so versatile. And then, you know, Charlie would sing really good R&B, and when he played harp, it wasn't anybody could touch him.
Yeah. Still isn't anybody that can touch him. It gets better with age, don't it? So
Steelman came up to him in Hungary or somewhere wherever he lives over there in Europe and said, Charlie, I'd really appreciate if you got this song of mine. Two Steelman's a guy that plays on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
So he's been around a while. But anyway, he would be honored if Charlie would cut his song, and he did.
So is there anybody you haven't played with that you always wanted to? Is there anybody out there that you just wish you really would love to play with them sometime?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I played with a whole lot of folks. I never played on one of Brenda's sessions. I worked on the road with her, and Owen Bradley taught us all vocal parts, stuff to sing, you know, like, I'm sorry, ooh, so sorry. We said, oh, we can't sing. And he said, yeah, you can. Grab this part right here, and you get this other one. And so it turned out we could sing enough to get, you know, sing background with Brenda. She cut one of my songs, but I never worked one of her sessions. They wanted to use the A-team, which they did. And Charlie was on one of her sessions. And the song of mine that she cut is the B-side of Coming On Strong. That's the only million seller I ever had. But nobody ever heard it because it was on the B-side. But I play it every now and then at the Piccadilly.
That show at the Piccadilly, that's a great show. That every week that you do that, I really enjoyed it the other day. And I got a couple of good pictures, too, I think. That's really something. Every Sunday at the Piccadilly, and you feature someone new every time.
Yeah, every time. It's Lori Carter Bennett is coming up this Sunday from 5 to 7. And we got a four-piece band that's really good. Buzz Kaysen's going to do one soon, and McCoy's going to do another one. He's already done three. Bill Lakin's the guy that was playing keyboard with his left hand and trumpet with his right. He ended up being Bobby Darin's conductor, and he's done two or three of them.
And you have a show coming up in September, don't you?
Yes, so we're going to be at Family Wash for a couple of hours, I guess, starting about 8:30.
What do you have anything else, other things you'd like to talk about as far as any to promote, any events? I know you have your websites.
Well, we have that, and we just finished up a duet album with Charlie McCoy. I got a song called Pretty Magic that's that he recorded. Jerry Reed recorded it, too. It's actually, the correct title of it is I Won't Be Worried Long When I Get Home. It's a gospel song. But it has some weird meter in it, and bar 5/4, bar 2 bars of 3/4, and a bar 4/4.
Wow.
But anyway, Jerry Reed thought that was really cool, and I didn't tell him that you could count it 4/4 all the way through, but once after he cut it, I did. But I've got a bunch of projects going on. I'm working on right now a live album that we did in Allegree, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And that's the home of Odell Martin, who played guitar for Baron Young and a million other people. Russ Hicks used to work the road with him a lot. Anyway, we played up there at Goose on the Lake, which is an annual event. I think we've had 18 of them or something now. We played two or three. And it was a sound truck showed up, and we had three cameras going on. So we're going to make a really good video if I get the get sound mixed like I want it.
When do you think that'll be coming out? And be
available? Gosh, I don't know. It's liable to take a year or so to get it all together, but it ought to be really good.